爸妈玛莎呀胡塞。 He walks on water, he gives out free healthcare, and he kills brown people in foreign countries with flying robots. But it's okay because he is the Messiah, Hussein Obama. Greetings, welcome to Stating the Obvious. This is number 159. This is part 3 in what's probably going to turn out to be a 4-part series. Oh, you can scream, shout, whine, cry, snivel, piss, and motherfucking moan like a bitch. You shove your opinion up your ass, that way your head has something to keep it company. And don't forget, the ever-present and the most likely third possibility, you are wrong and I am right. Oh yes, fuck you. Some moron. It never ceases to amaze me how the people on YouTube are the people who comment on YouTube videos are the stupidest people ever. One of them recently left a comment about how I think I'm a god, and that was what Satan did. I'm like, yes, now I am Satan. This is the weapons platform from which I launch the cruise missile of my intellect that homes in on and destroys stupid motherfucking statist all around the world. Left-wing statist, right-wing statist, moderate statist, minarchist statist, and of course, femistatist. Only we could mow down the femistatist with the M60 machine gun. That would make me so happy. This is part 3 in the series where I'm talking about Helen Smith's book, Men on Strike, Why Men Are Boycotting Marriage, Fatherhood, and the American Dream, and Why It Matters. This is part of my long extended rant that's been going on for about 4 months now. It feels like 4 months. About femistatist. And for those of you who don't know what a femistatist is, it's a feminist. I just call them femistatist because all feminists, by definition, are statist. You can't find a feminist who is not a statist. There's no such thing. There is no anarcho-capitalist feminist out there. There is no anarchist feminist out there. There is no voluntarist feminist out there. To be a feminist, you have to be a statist. All feminists are femistatist. There are also, now you don't just have to be left-wing, because I was thinking about this, because there's a lot of women who are not femistatist, but they are still statist. And those would be, I would consider those to be the ones who call themselves conservative, right-wing, whatever. Like you look at people like Julie Berinsky, for example. She calls herself a libertarian, as I've done a podcast of this before, about her and other Republicans like Glenn Beck, who go around saying, well, I'm a libertarian. You know, Glenn Beck is no more a libertarian, you know, than my asshole is perfectly clean after I take a shit. Julie Berinsky, token libertarian girl on the YouTube, is no more a libertarian than my ass is clean after I take a shit. Okay, she is a statist. She's not a feminist. She's not a femistatist, but she's still a statist. So when it comes to females, there are at least three distinct classifications, and I may come up with more in the future. There are women who are women. These are women who are intelligent, capable, can do things on their own, don't need the state to provide for them. These are women who are true libertarians or voluntarist or anarcho-capitalist. What's her name? I'm having a brain cramp. What's Randy? What's Taryn's name? Taryn Harris. Taryn. What the fuck is her name? Is it Taryn? I can't remember. Anyway, there are some of them out there. By the way, in the control room is the lovely and adorable Randy. She's hanging out over there. She's on the other side of the glass where she can be seen and not heard the way women should be. Yes, want to make sure we start offending the femistatist as soon as possible. So we have real women. Women who are competent and capable. They're a very, very tiny percent of the population, obviously. And then we have women who are not femistatist, but they're still statist. These are, for the most part, the right-wing and the religious women. Yeah, the Mormon women, for example. So there are women out there who aren't into feminism. They grasp the concept that men and women are distinctly different and that man and woman should come together to form a unifying gestalt of the two, which takes the best qualities of each and magnifies them and enhances them, and the man supports the woman supports the man, and they together become greater than they are individually. And this is a concept that is completely foreign to the left-wing femistatists because they're based in hatred. Anyway, so for the right-wing statist female, she's not a femistatist, but she's still a statist. These people still believe that you should go to jail if you smoke marijuana, or that, you know, there should be all of these laws regulating whether or not you can carry a gun, and yada, yada, yada. So they're not femistatist, but they're still statist, and they're women. And then, of course, there is the femistatist, who is almost always and exclusively a left-wing statist, because they're the ones who believe in social justice. They're the ones who believe that all men are pedophiles, all men are rapists. And, of course, they never stop talking about how we must promote tolerance, diversity, and open-mindedness, while, of course, preaching that all men are rapists and all men are pedophiles, and men essentially exist only to serve women because women make less money at work, even though the mathematics has shown over and over and over that women don't make less money than men. And in fact, in many cases, women with equal amount of education, equal amount of experience, equal jobs make more money than men. But femistatists don't get that, because in order to be a femistatist, one of the requirements is that you have to not be capable of doing math. Or thinking, for that matter, but that's sort of a given. All right. Take a drink of water, catch my breath. Randy, where are we? Yes. Thank you. Today is January the 12th, 2014. I am the Great One himself from Cynical Libertarian Society, CYNLIBSOC.com, on the internet. Randy is in the control room. She is the audio engineer, and mostly she's just here to keep me on track and yell at me when I need to be yelled at and hold up signs and give me somebody to goof off with. And the email address, if you want to send us feedback, you can send us hate mail, you can send us love mail, you can send me information, you can send us your opinions, you can send us naked pictures, especially if you are an attractive man, because Randy likes pictures of naked guys with big muscles and big cocks. And I like pictures of attractive women with nice tits and no mustache and preferably shaven pubic area. And so, yeah, send those pictures to us if you're good looking. We love that. And by the way, anything you do, email to us. It's ours. We can share it if we want to. It could end up on the website. Now, I will say this. I will not put, and see, I can do what I want, but I'm going to say this. I will not put any naked pictures on the website. If you send us a naked picture of you, I promise you it will not go on the website. Unless it's accompanied by insults. If you just send a naked picture and say, hey, here's my naked picture, what do you think? It's completely private. But if you send hate mail, I'm going to put it on the website and I'm going to make fun of you. And if you send praise, well, I'm going to put that on the website, of course, if I get around to it, because we all know how good I am about updating the website, right, Randy? Yes. What else do I need to cover? Theme song, You Know I'm Right, by David Gilmour, off 1984 album About Face. All right, let's get started. Speaking of all men are pedophiles, speaking of me running into the microphone, that's what that noise was. Kapunk, I just slammed my face into the microphone. There's some good microphone technique for you. Where are we at? We're talking about the book Men on Strike by Helen Smith, PhD. There's going to be links in the show notes for this to her blog and to a series of other relevant websites, that some of which are mentioned in this book, some of which are not, that I just decided are relevant enough that I'm going to link to them. All right. Page 96 is where we are at. We're about halfway done. We're about halfway finished. All right, page 96. Reading. So widespread is the problem of men being viewed as predators that a man can't even sit on an airline anymore without potentially being called out as a pervert. What I'm reading next is a quote that Helen Smith, Yes, Helen Smith is quoting from another source. Quote, a businessman is suing British Airways over a policy that bans male passengers from sitting next to children they don't know, even if the child's parents are on the same flight. Mirko Fischer has accused the airlines of branding all men as potential sex offenders and says innocent travelers are being publicly humiliated. In line with the policy, BA cabin crew patrol the aisles before takeoff, checking that youngsters traveling on their own or in a different row from their parents are not next to a male stranger. If they find a man next to a child or teenager, they will ask him to move to a different seat. The aircraft will not take off unless the passenger obeys. Mr. Fisher, who lives in Luxembourg with his wife and their daughter Sophia, said, quote, this policy is branding all men as perverts for no reason. The policy and the treatment of male passengers is absolutely outrageous. A plane is a public place. Cabin crew regularly walk down the aisles and passengers are set so close to each other. The risk of any abuse is virtually zero. Now, imagine if women were, and of course there are places where women are treated equally poorly. They are called Muslim countries. But remember, Muslim is the what's the Muslim religion? It's not Hindus. That's fucking totally different. Why does my brain not work? The Muslim religion is the it doesn't matter. The Muslim religion is the religion of peace. Right? That's why they make women wear tents, and that's why they stone women and burn them to death and all this other shit. And, but wait. No, that's totally okay. I forgot. It's okay for Muslim people to treat women like shit because, well, they're Muslims and it's the religion of peace. And Hussein Obama, he said so. And it was on TV. But can you imagine in Western liberal society, upper middle class white women being uniformly accused of being, I don't know, cougars, of being rapists, of being pedophiles, of being child murderers. I will include in the show notes the link to the blog, which keeps track of women who murder children. You know, I mean, can you imagine if women were universally declared to be pedophiles and not allowed to sit next to children on an airplane? It would explode. The world would fucking just go to shit. Let's see, did that. Yep, talked about that. 98. Yep, hang on. This is me trying to think. I just had ice cream too. 98, 99, 100, 101. What do I want to do with this? Yes. All right. Do, 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 do. Okay, here we go. Speaking of pedophiles. However, I'm reading now from the book. However, the cost to society of portraying men in this manner is high, because men are afraid to engage in many areas of public life and work, especially those that involve children. Kids have fewer and fewer role models and can end up harmed or worse, dead. A poll conducted by ANCH, a children's charity and volunteer group Chance UK, has identified what they believe is the reason so many charities are struggling to recruit men to work with children. Turns out many men are afraid of being labeled as pedophiles. Well, no shit. I mean, again, it's like, try being a man, go to the playground and just sit there and watch the children playing. You will instantly be assumed by every woman in sight that you're a pedophile. And you want to have sex with her children because, oh, you women, you're just such fucking goddesses and you're such princesses with your hairy upper lips that the fucking spawn that came out of your birth canal are just so goddess-like the way you are that every man in the world desperately wants to have sex with your children. Back to reading. 2-year-old Abigail Ray died by drowning in a village pond in England. Her death stirred a debate because the ongoing inquest revealed an explosive fact. A man passing by was afraid to guide the lost child to safety because he feared being labeled a pervert. The man's name was Clive Peachy, and his actions were the topic of a lively debate. Though this is terrible, can you really blame him for walking away? Some people did, mostly women, but they should try living in a man's shoes for a while, and they might also go on strike where interactions with minors are concerned. As author Wendy McElroy said about this case, quote, child abuse must be addressed, but it is worse than folly to punish those who help children. Our society is creating Clive Peachy, decent men who will walk away from a child in need. Abby Ray died not only from drowning, but also from bad politics, unquote. And again, this is true. Speaking as a man, I'm a man. I have the cock to prove it. And I have hair on my upper lip, but I know how to fucking shave, unlike women with hair on their upper lips. Wax your fucking mustache, honey. All right. I can relate to this. If I'm walking along and I see a child in trouble, I'm going to keep walking. Because, yeah, if you go over there and you get near the child, or you touch the child, or you do something to help the child, odds are good, and the odds get better every single day as femistatism takes hold in our society, that the child's parents, or parent, I'm sorry, that was really insensitive of me. Ah, God. I can't believe I said that. I want to formally apologize for saying that a child has parents. We all know that children only have one parent. Children only need a mother. We know that children don't need fathers because men are all rapists and they're all pedophiles. And, you know, a child needs a father like a fish needs a bicycle. So I want to apologize to all the strong, independent, single mothers out there who are on welfare and food stamps and WIC and receiving child support payments. I want to apologize for that slip of the tongue and that vastly insensitive moment where I implied that a child should have more than one parent. I mean, unless, of course, the parents are homosexual. Now, if it's two gay women raising a child, of course, that's the most wonderful condition under which any child can ever be raised. And, of course, the second most wonderful condition would be a single mother. And the third most wonderful condition would be two gay men. But, you know, any child who is unfortunate enough to have two parents and one of them is a heterosexual man who works for a living, I mean, that's just tragic. And I really apologize to all of the liberal, tolerant, inclusive, diversity people out there for implying that children should have a father in their life. So I'm very sorry about that. I would not help a child in need because the parent, you know, once she had finished shopping with her food stamps and she made sure that her welfare payment went in the bank, she might accuse me of pedophilia. It's sad to say, but I would stand there and watch a young child die if that's what it took to protect myself from being a sex offender. And it's pretty fucking sad. It's sad that we live in a society where people such as myself and such as Clive Peachy have to behave this way out of self-preservation. Because, of course, the normal instinct for a man is to protect the life of other people. That is a normal instinct for a rational, sane human being. When you see another person in danger, you see another person in need, you want to help them. But we've created a society where that natural instinct to help others, especially children, you know, because I mean, an adult woman can fucking help herself. If she can't, fuck her. That's called evolution. I've talked about this. It's called natural selection. That's fucking science, unlike global warming. But when you see a child in need, you see a child in danger, your instinct is to protect the child. But thanks to femistatism, as men, we have to override this, and you have to let the child die. All right, let me go on reading. This is a quote from the Wendy McElroy book right here that I'm reading. Quote, last summer, an Illinois man lost an appeal on his conviction as a sex offender for grabbing the arm of a 14-year-old girl. She had stepped directly in front of his car, causing him to swerve in order to avoid hitting her. The 28-year-old Fitzroy Barnaby jumped out of his car, grabbed her arm, and lectured her on how not to get killed. Nothing more occurred. Nevertheless, this one action made him guilty of, quote, the unlawful restraint of a minor, unquote, which is a sexual offense in Illinois. Both the jury and judge believed him. Nevertheless, Barnaby went through years of legal proceedings that ended with his name on a sex offender registry, where his photograph and address are publicly available. He must report to authorities. His employment options are severely limited. He cannot live near schools or parks. Again, I've talked about this before. I've done somewhere back there. There's a whole fucking podcast on the prison and justice industrial complex. The femistatist helped to create, to make things like this criminal. The unlawful restraint of a minor for holding on to her arm. And it's a sex offense. It's not just restraining the minor, but the unlawful restraint of a minor is a sex crime. I mean, just this one case, how much money did this man going through this process pour into the justice industrial complex? How much money did the government and the court system make off of this? This is part of why part of why things like this happen is because femistatists, just to the very nature of being women and being statist, are insecure. I mean, women, even the best of women, are naturally insecure. It's who they are. It's a feminine trait. Just like a masculine trait is to be, you know, overconfident, a feminine trait is to be insecure. But the femistatist is 1,000 times more insecure than the truly rational anarcho-capitalist women. As rational as a woman can be. Any woman alive is insecure. But the femistatist is insecure to the nth magnitude. And so they need the state to make every fucking thing illegal, to control as much as possible, because they're too fragile and they're too insecure to control anything themselves, to control any aspect of their life. And the state, of course, loves this. This is why the state encourages femistatism, because with everything illegal, you get more people going into the court system. With more people going into the court system, more money flows into the court system. You have to hire more clerks, more judges. Lawyers make money. Lawyers get paid by the hour, yada, yada, yada. None of this has anything to do with equality or sanity or rationalism or anything else. This is all about pumping money into the state and feeding the massive insecurity and fear that is felt by the femistatist. All right, then we come to, these are some quotes from people who wrote in to Helen Smith about this topic. Iggy writes in, I, as a male, am afraid to be around little children. I have one on the way, but up until now I have been without kids and I will be 31 this year. Just recently, at a family function on my wife's side, her stepmom invited some of her family to the function, and I was shocked when one of the little girls that had been clinging to me all day came up to me and said, quote, my mom said I can't play with you anymore because she doesn't know what you'll do to me, unquote. I took this very hard because, for one, I love kids, and for some reason they love me. I am a volunteer firefighter and always the first one to sign up to do safety talks with the kids, and just this one instance set me back a ton. And of course, what is this little girl going to think growing up when her mother is running around telling her, don't play with this man over here because he might fuck you? I mean, how you know, this is how femistatism is passed on. Of course, I mean, all bullshit indoctrination comes through the parents passing the shit on to the children. But when you're telling your child that men, just because they're men, might molest them, I mean, how fucked up is this little girl going to be when she becomes a quote-unquote adult? And, you know, again, this girl will grow up to be a femistatist, probably, and therefore she will never be an adult, because a femistatist, by definition, cannot be an adult. As I've said, femistatists are rocks, and they are like retarded children. So you can't be an adult and a femistatist, because being an adult requires that you have responsibility. The femistatist has no responsibility. You can tell because of the child support payments, the welfare, the WIC, the affirmative action, yada, yada, yada. Anyway, I repeat myself 10 fucking thousand times. Let me read the next bit out of the book. Okay. NV wrote in and said, "I used to coach girls soccer with my fiance, now wife. I stopped because one of the girls, all of 8 years old, said, quote, 'I don't have to listen to you. I can get you in trouble just by telling people you touched me,' unquote. Now that I have a child of my own, I have no idea how I'm going to be involved when he wants to do sports or other activities. I already got odd looks on the playground the year I was a stay-at-home dad and carting him around with me all the time." As I said, try it. Try being a man, go to the playground, and just sit there on a bench and look at the kids. And again, this 8-year-old girl, she's already learned that she can have power over any man in her life by simply going to someone else, preferably a woman or a police officer, and saying, "That man over there touched me." For those of you who are young men, you know, and you think you're going to grow up and get married and be happy, this is the kind of thing, you know, 16-year-old girls right now, the girl in this thing is 8, but I'm telling you, 16-year-old girls right now in the year 2014, this is exactly what they've grown up with. They know this. And you think you're going to marry one of these bitches one day and you're going to have a happy marriage and all this other stuff. I have really bad news for you. You are so fucked. You are mind-blowingly fucked. And not the good kind of fucked. Not the kind of fucked like you're thinking about. Women today... Where the fuck did my water bottle go? There it is. Women today have learned that when you have a disagreement with a man, you don't have to persuade him. You know, there was a point... Women have never particularly used logic and reasoning, but in the past, they got what they wanted through persuasion or manipulation, you know, by crying or whatever. The old feminine trick of getting your way by crying. Those days are over. Now women know they get their way by accusing men of rape. They get their way by saying, "That man touched me." And this is why you shouldn't be in the workplace. This is why you shouldn't make as much money as a man. This is why you shouldn't be CEOs. This is why women shouldn't have positions of responsibility. Again, the only way that the femistatist understands how to get what she wants is by accusations of rape and pedophilia and using the state to extract from her victim what she wants to receive, right? So if the girl doesn't want to do what the coach says, she goes to somebody else and says, "He touched me," and then that person calls the police, and the police come over and tell him, "You can't coach anymore, and we're going to put you in prison," and now she doesn't have to do what the coach says. The femistatist of 2014 uses rape and pedophilia to get the state to force men to do what she wants men to do, because she has no fucking way of doing that herself. She has no communication skills, no reasoning skills. She has no feminine skills. She can't even get what she wants by looking cute anymore, because she's fat, she's ugly, she doesn't know how to fucking wear clothes, she cuts all her hair off and she has a buzz cut, she has fucking hair on her upper lip. As I've said before, femistatists do not have anything except other people's money. Femistatists have nothing but the state, which is run on other people's money. Their WIC payments, other people's money. Food stamps, other people's money. Child support, other people's money. Welfare, other people's money. All the fucking laws that protect women from having to experience anything they don't like, all financed and paid for with other people's money. Putting men in prison for pedophilia, even though the man didn't do anything, it's all done with other people's money. If you take away other people's money, femistatists would all be dead within about 6 months because they would have no way to feed themselves, no way to shelter themselves, no way to pay their bills, no way to buy food. They die. And that's by what the fuck evolution and natural selection intended. Okay, how many times can I repeat myself? Page 107, first full paragraph. Interesting. Okay. Sadly, the only men on television these days who are not portrayed negatively are metrosexuals, according to McNamara. Maybe feminized men are the only men women like Miss White, the woman who is afraid of men at the beginning of this chapter, feel comfortable around. And we all know that nothing in our society is more important than making women feel comfortable and with high self-esteem to boot. And it's true, everything in our society revolves around making women comfortable and making women feel safe because women are, as he said, women are fucking constantly insecure. That's why Western culture has to put so much fucking effort into making women feel secure. It's because women are fucking insecure. There is nothing in the world more insecure. You bring me a goddamn 4-year-old girl and she's nowhere near as insecure as a goddamn femistatist. Yeah, that's... Oh, hang on. Wait, don't go anywhere. Hey, this is a great time for the clock to chime 12. Randy, it's lunchtime. You're a strong, independent woman. Where are you going to buy me lunch at? What, you used up all your food stamps already? Oh, that's awesome. All right, I need to research that. Make my little note there. Okay. Yeah, moral agents. Women are not moral agents because moral agents, by definition, are responsible for their actions. Women are not responsible for their actions. We've seen this over and over and over. The courts have told us that. The government tells us this. The femistatists tell us women are not responsible for their actions, right? I accidentally got pregnant. How can you accidentally get pregnant? It's impossible for a woman to accidentally get pregnant unless she's not responsible for her actions. If you're not responsible for your actions, then you cannot be a moral agent. This is why, as I have said and am saying right now, women do not have morality. They cannot have morality. It is impossible. You cannot be a moral agent and not be responsible for anything that happens at the same time. The two are mutually, being a moral agent means you are responsible. If you can't be, this is why retarded people are not moral agents, because retarded people cannot be held responsible for their actions because they are not sufficiently developed intellectually and emotionally to have foresight, backsight, analytical abilities, yada, yada, yada. They do not have the mental and emotional faculties to be moral agents. That is why a retarded person is not held accountable for his or her actions. When feminazis say that feminists and women shouldn't be held accountable for their actions, what they're saying is they are not moral agents and they are retarded. And I don't disagree with that. All right. Abortion. We've talked about abortion 700 fucking thousand times. I'll do something more with that in the future. I think I can let that go for right now. Page 115. Okay, oh God. And this is one of those places where it says, and beyond, which means I'm going to be reading for the next 17 hours. All right. It is windy as shit here in Fort Collins today, too. Global warming is kicking ass here in Fort Collins today. It is 45-ish degrees and windy and a little bit gray.
Randy, where's the... Well, I'm going to open the window.
Yeah, it's gotten sunny outside. Sunny-ish, but it's still gray. And it's still fucking windy as hell. Okay, page 115. I'm now reading. Finally, I'm finally reading. Charles Murray, in his book Coming Apart, The State of White America, 1960 through 2010, writes about the role of secular fraternal associations. Today, most people, this is a quote from Charles Murray from his book, today, most people know of organizations such as the Elks, Moose, and the Odd Fellows, if they knew about them at all, as male lower middle class social clubs. They are actually the remnants of a mosaic of organizations that were a central feature of American civic life. For our purposes, one is particularly salient. They drew their membership from across the social classes and ensured regular and close interaction among people of different classes. Unquote. As I think about these fraternal organizations, perhaps another important role they served was to get different classes of people talking and brainstorming about ideas and problems. Because there were different social classes present, those men who had certain problems could talk them over with other men who might be more successful problem solvers. If a businessman needed help with something mechanical, he might find a successful mechanic there who could tell him what to do, and vice versa. A mechanic might find a successful businessman who would help him with money issues. Or men could talk to each other across classes who were more successful in resolving problems at home. Or men could just congregate and discuss politics and how to challenge threats to justice, liberty, and freedom. Now, men are discouraged and actively made fun of or denied the ability to be in all-male groups by the law and by the disapproval of certain segments of the culture. For example, look at how colleges treat fraternity guys. They are all looked at with suspicion and treated like they are one step away from gang raping the next girl who walks by their frat house. If you don't believe me, mention frat guys and watch the reaction of any woman over the age of about 30. Most look at them with fear and disdain and want to put a stop to any fun they might be having. And as men get older, the isolation and denigration gets worse. I wonder how much of this demonization of men leads to our staggering male suicide rate. Males kill themselves at much higher rates than women, 4 men for every 1 woman. It's politically correct to laugh at men, beat them, or hurl insults their way. Most men don't say anything and just retreat to the basement to tune out of the world. And who can blame them? And this is absolutely true. You can't have a fucking male-only organization without having the femistatist come out and dump hatred on you. And this is what the femistatists are afraid of. They're afraid of men getting together and collectively pulling their heads out of their ass and rebelling against femistatism. This is why websites such as Return of Kings generates so much hatred from the femistatist. The femistatist, I mean, it's more than just the femistatist can't stand an opinion that's different than her opinion. I mean, we know that. No statist can tolerate an opinion different than their opinion. That's part of what statism requires, right? That's why statists can't shut the fuck up about tolerance, diversity, and open-mindedness. It's because if you have an opinion different than them, they're not going to disagree with you. They're going to try to shut you down. They will try to censor you, have your website taken down, your Twitter taken down. They will pass laws to shut you up because they cannot intellectually argue against anything you're saying because they're statist, they don't have the ability to think. Again, I've said this before, if you're intelligent and you can think rationally, you cannot be a statist. It's impossible to believe that, for example, it's wrong to kill people, but if you're the president of the United States, you're special, and so you can kill people in foreign countries with flying robots. Okay, either it's wrong to kill people or it's not. You have to be stupid in order to have the hamster wheel logic that says, well, killing people is wrong unless you're the president of the United States, or unless you have a badge, or unless you're wearing a uniform, or unless you're killing somebody that I don't like, right? That's the kind of hamster wheel logic that you have to have to be a statist. So to be a statist, you can't be intelligent. It's just not possible. The femistatist takes it to a new level. The femistatist, in addition to not having the intelligence to respond to anyone who disagrees with her or him, the femistatist needs to keep men apart from each other so that the men don't collectively talk about these things and figure this shit out and do something about it. This is why Return of Kings website is so terrifying to the femistatist, because there's collection of men from the manosphere, call them alpha males if you would like, it doesn't matter what you call them, they're coming together, they're exchanging ideas, it's in one place where a man can go and read opinions that conflict with femistatism and read opinions that are backed up with logical arguments and facts. And if this way of thinking, if the, as they say, the red pill is taken by more and more men, every man that takes the red pill adds to the threat that women might have to fucking wax their upper lip and lose some weight and grow their hair out and stop getting all these facial piercings. And she might actually have to become feminine instead of getting a fucking welfare check and a WIC payment. Hey, Randy, we're getting near the end, actually. Would you wait, where are we at on time? Holy shit. We might get this in to three parts if I get my shit together. Okay. I'm not making any promises. This is not a prenuptial agreement. There are no promises here. Page 118. Quote, when a partner isolates their spouse from friends, associates, and public places, it's called domestic abuse. When it's done to an entire gender, it's called feminism. It's imperative to stop this abuse against men and allow saner laws and minds to prevail. I mean, yeah, there you go. You look at the way men are treated. Again, you know, whoa, you can't have a male-only club. You can't hang out with your friends. But if a man told his wife, you can't hang out with your friends, you know, he's abusive. But when you tell all men collectively, you're not allowed to hang out with your friends, well, that's feminism. That's femistatism. Oh, God. All right, yes. This is a long one. Here we go. On January 13th, 2012, an Italian cruise ship, the Costa Concordia, I'm probably mispronouncing that, partially sunk off the coast of Tuscany with 4,252 people on board. Which is interesting. A while back, I watched a documentary about cruise ships and sinking cruise ships, and it was real. I can't remember the name of it, otherwise I'd tell you, but it was very interesting and had good information. And what was funny is they interviewed these two people. They were performers on a cruise ship. It was, I think they were husband and wife. And they're like a singer and guitar player or whatever. And so they were on this cruise ship that sank and they got off and everything. And then the documentary is progressing and they get to another sinking cruise ship. And the documentary narrator said, you know, it's like, and guess who was on this ship? And it was the same two people. They were now entertainers on this other cruise ship, and it fucking hit something and sunk. So what are the odds? What are the fucking odds? To be on one cruise ship that sinks, the odds are astronomical. But to be on two, okay, granted, they perform on cruise ships, it ups their odds, but still, that was pretty funny. Anyway, if I can't remember the name of it, so I can't really tell you to go watch it, but fuck. Anyway, that has nothing to do with femistatism. It was very ironic and funny. And they took it, they were laughing about it as well. They're like, yeah, we're pretty amazing, huh? Then the other, you can imagine the captains of cruise ships going, no, we don't want you to on our ship because you've already sunk two ships. You're going to have to go somewhere else. All right. Anyway, the captain, Francisco Schletino, I totally mutilated that name, was charged with, quote, abandoning incapacitated passengers and failing to inform maritime authorities, unquote. Crew members were not much more help than the captain, as passengers reported that many of them left passengers to fend for themselves. Rich Laurie at National Review compared the crash of the Costa Cordina to the Titanic and how men responded in each. Now, this is a quote from the Rich Laurie in the National Review. Quoting him, "Every man for himself is a phrase associated with the deadly Costa Cordina disaster, but not as a last-minute expedient. It appears to have been the natural order of things. In the words of one newspaper account, quote, an Australian mother and her young daughter have described being pushed aside by hysterical men as they tried to board the lifeboats, unquote. If the men at the Titanic had lived to read such a thing, they would have recoiled in shame. The Titanic's crew surely would have thought the hysterics deserved to be shot on sight and would have volunteered to perform the service. Women and children were given priority in theory, but not necessarily in practice. The Australian mother said of the scene, quote, we just couldn't believe it, especially the men. They were worse than the women, unquote. Another woman passenger agreed, quote, there were big men crew members pushing their way past us to get into the lifeboats, unquote. Yet another, a grandmother, complained, open quote, I was standing by the lifeboats and men, big men, were banging into me and knocking the girls, unquote. Guys aboard the Costa Cordelia apparently made sure the age of chivalry was good and dead by pushing it over and trampling on it in their heedless rush for the exits. Well, and again, can you blame them? First of all, the femistatists want men to be more feminine. Well, these men were being feminine. They were looking out for themselves first. They were being selfish. They were being feminine. That's what femistatists want men to do. And second of all, again, me, I'm on a sinking ship. I'm not going to help a woman. I mean, you help the woman into the lifeboat, you're probably trying to rape her. If you try to get the child into the lifeboat, it's because you're trying to touch the child because you're a pedophile. I would do the same thing. I wouldn't necessarily push them out of my way because pushing them, that's rape. You know, even looking at a woman in the year 2014 is rape. So I wouldn't push the bitch out of my way, but I would not make the slightest effort to help a child or a female get into the lifeboat because all you're doing is setting yourself up to be a sex offender. This is what femistatists wanted. This is what femistatists have gotten. There should be no surprise. This is what gets me, is anybody who has sees this sort of behavior and is surprised by it. Why are you surprised by this information? 122. Oh, yes, here we go. This is a good one. All right. In the late 1980s, Wendy Brown, a professor of women's studies, came face to face with a man who is culturally different from her while backpacking in the Sierra Nevada with friends. Her car had broken down, and she enlisted the help of a sportsman nearby who was wearing a National Rifle Association cap, drinking a beer, and reading a porn magazine and scouting out the area for his hunting club. This kind man spent 2 hours helping this professor get her car started. You can probably guess the rest of the story. Naturally, for his trouble, Brown stereotyped him in an article in the Yale Law Journal as a potential rapist and had the audacity to exclaim, quote, during the hours I spent with him, I had no reason to conclude that his respect for women's personhood ran any deeper than his respect for the lives of the Sierra deer. Unquote. Again, for those of you who might be a little bit slow, and for those of you out there who are men, if anyone I should be talking to, the young men out there, if you're thinking, again, you're 22 years old, you've got a cock, right? You're like these guys who are meeting my 16-year-old friend who's a girl at college parties and taking her from the party and getting in your car with her and quote unquote going to parties in other cities, right? I know you think that this sort of thing doesn't happen to you. It only happens to other people. And it's okay for you to be 22 years old and having sex with a 17-year-old girl. Something actually happening right now to somebody that I know. You think it's okay for you to talk to a little girl on the playground who comes up to the bench where you're sitting. You think it's okay for you to help out the woman whose car has broken down. Because these things only happen to other people, not you. I have news for you. Femistatists compose the majority of women in the United States right now. I'm telling you for a fact. Go out and talk to women. Over 50% of them are hardcore femistatists. Even if they don't understand it, they are. From the perspective of the criminal justice industrial complex, you are already a pedophile and a rapist. And unless you're in prison, or unless you're paying child support, or unless you're on a sex offender registry list, you're not generating income for the criminal justice industrial complex. And if you're not generating income for the criminal justice industrial complex, it's going to find a way to get you into the system so they're getting your income, right? It's just like Google. If you're not using Google Plus, Google cannot collect information on your internet habits. If it's not collecting information on your internet habits, Google cannot sell that information to the corporations, okay? The criminal justice industrial complex works exactly the same way. If they can't get you into the system as a criminal, as a sex offender, as a prisoner, as somebody on probation, as somebody paying child support, if they can't get you into the system, they're not making money off of you. If they can't make money off of you, you have no value to them. And so their emphasis, just like Google's emphasis, is how do we get people to join Google Plus? That's why they've tied Google search results to being a member of Google Plus and having a Google Plus account. They need to get people in Google Plus so they can collect your information and sell it. The criminal justice industrial complex needs to get you into the system so they can take what you have. And the femistatists are there to help make sure this happens, because the femistatists get a small portion of this. That's their payoff for accusing you of being a pedophile and a rapist. The sooner you get this shit through your fucking 22-year-old head and realize that you're not exempt from this, the better off you're going to be. It was lies. It was all lies. When I said this might only be 3 parts long, I was lying. Of course I was lying. Randy says, of course you were lying. You have a dick. All right, we'll be back for part 4. Part 4 is going to be the final part. There will be no part 5. There will be no motherfucking part 5 to this. Done.